Hi, I'm Dr. Safaya, a medical doctor who doubles as an email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and did work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes.
If you're to bust one email marketing myth, if there's any email marketing myth you would want to bust, right? Which one would it be?
Okay. Well, there's one I already kind of mentioned was the 2% rule that you'll hear people say, like you'll only sell to 2% of your list. That's one I cannot stand. I've broken that rule so many times. To tell a different one, the other one that drives me crazy that I hear out there from a lot of, again, gurus out there who will tell you things. I did quotes in case you're not, you know, you're just listening in. But the gurus out there will sometimes tell you, oh, before you launch, make sure you have 500 or 1,000 people or whatever number of people on your list before you launch. And I think that is literally the worst advice out there. And, you know, you can disagree with me if you want to, that's fine. But I think it is so terrible because I literally sold to a list $14,000 to a list of under 100 people. Like, imagine if I waited till we had 500 clients, but then you'd have 100 of those clients that probably wouldn't be interested anymore because it took me 3 more months or even a year to get that many on my list. You know, like I said, there's just rules out there, or quote unquote rules, I should say, that are just absurd to me. Like, and I feel like the other thing with that, having a minimum number of people before you do anything, one, it doesn't allow you to practice your messaging and what's working and testing things. And two, then you're just growing a list to grow a list, and you're trying to get anyone and their brother on your email list. And then of course, they're not buying because they're not your ideal client. So it's like, don't get me started. You already did get me started, but essentially that's my problem with it.
What's one email marketing myth you want to debunk? I'm sure you must have one.
Yes, I do have one. In fact, I have plenty.
Okay, give us two.
One email marketing myth is people think that once your email goes to promotion, you are dead. People will not read your email. And I'm like, why? They look at promotions and spam as the same thing. It's not the same thing.
Like, it's not.
It's not the same thing. Spam is spam. You don't even get to see emails there until you even go in search of it. But with promotions, if you're using a Gmail, Google will still show you those emails in promotions. Like, you are still seeing them. It's popping up and showing you that, oh, you have this email here. You have this email here.
Sometimes you have this recommendations. Like, it gives you this snippet at the top. Like, oh, you have this email from this, and this.
Exactly. You don't get that with spam. So, I also help people understand that if your email is hitting the inbox, oh, beautiful. Especially now with the new email restrictions and everything, almost all marketing emails are going to promotions now. Almost all. A lot of people that I follow that I'm on their email list, some of them, their emails, if you're not like an e-com person, oh, sorry, you're going to promotions. Yeah, that's where you're going to. And that is not even me doing anything. Like, Google just takes you there, takes you to promotion. So if you're among those people that you're very, very lucky, and I know that there are lots of strategies that people come up with to take you to the inbox and all that. In fact, I do one of them, which is one thing I always try with my clients, especially when we start working together and ABC Fresh accounts, or even if it's not a fresh account, the first email like you are getting, if you are a new person, is you have to respond to that email. I learned that strategy from somebody, one OG email marketer. I really can't remember his name. I think I was on a live and he was talking, and I was like, and I practiced that, and it has been great. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Like we all say, we're just experimenting. Now on is, you send the email, the first email, you're just asking for a response. Whatever the response can be, but the person should respond. So when they respond, the likelihood of subsequent emails falling into the inbox is always like higher. That's one that I experiment with. Sometimes emails come to the inbox, sometimes it doesn't. I've also experimented with the one where you would add the person to your contact list so that the emails will appear in your inbox. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I don't know if it's me, but then it doesn't work all the time. So my myth is, please don't think that because your emails are going to promotions, that means your subject line is bad or there's anything fishy in your email or something. It's not. Promotions tab is not a tab you should be scared of. There's a reason why it's promotions. You're promoting something. It's a marketing email.
I mean, I know we all covet the most coveted primary tab. And, yeah. You know, do everything to get in there, which is really good. I mean, it's top tier visibility, if we are being honest. And the fact that you're on that first page is just like being on the first page of Google. So it's not like you're not on that Google. It is like the first page. So being on that first page is top tier visibility. It definitely affects, you know, like your metrics. But then again, you can still work it even when you're getting into the promotions tab. And the promotions tab is actually part of the inbox. In short, Google now has the primary, the promotions, the social, and the updates. There are literally some marketing emails that are sent to like updates.
Yeah.
Like, you know, why is this here? Right? Like I go through my update folder and I see an email from David Deutsch and it's like my love hate relationship with AI. Or, you know, and some other like high level people. Yeah. Thank you for debunking that. So what's the second one?
I think this one is for my Nigerian audiences, my Nigerian clients. Nigerians that are listening to this.
Okay.
This one is please.
Okay.
That's email marketing. Don't think that people are not going to read your emails.
Oh yeah. Like, people said it where Nigerians don't read emails. And I'm like, oh,
exactly. Really? Like why?
Nigerians are on the list of all the big foreign people reading their emails and downloading their freebies. So why do you think that?
Why do you think they will not read your email? Exactly. Especially business owners. Like business owners in Nigeria that are doing businesses. I see a lot of them right now. They're on Instagram. They're creating websites. But they are ignoring their email list. Like, why? Why? And, like, it amazes me. I just go and I'm like, okay, you've opened the website. You're doing website sale. Do you know you can make so much more when you do this website sale and it's connected to your email marketing? But then you laugh to you. You say, people know they read email. People don't. I'm like, really? Have you tried? Because most of this stems out of, would I say ignorance? Because you've not even tried it. So how do you know it won't work?
Sure.
You have to try it first before you can work. So basically, right, do not think that Nigerians do not read emails. And then because of that, you are working so hard to create a website. Your website can crash. I see so many people do sales and then your website crashes. But then even if a website crashes, when you have these emails automated, your sales still keep going on. I don't know. You can still sell. Even if they can't buy immediately. But then you still have these people there. You don't even need to always do like running ads. Just do sales via email. If you are able to convince people to go to your website, because Nigerians are like, website, I want to buy through WhatsApp, you know, those kind of things. If you're not able to convince people to buy via your website, trust me, you can make them buy via email marketing. Like carry them there, put them there. Even if you don't use it immediately, sending them emails about your product, even if it's once a week, do it. You'd be surprised at the amount of conversion you're going to get that you are never going to use ads for. And then I think the third one, which I was about to touch on, was thinking that your automations are a one-time thing. Set it up and leave it. Why? When things have changed, you have grown, your business has grown, the year has grown, that has gone past. Now, I'm currently refreshing returning clients' automations. Now, going back to the automation, we first created in 2023. Then things changed for her. We now had to add some information in 2024. And now things have also changed. And now we're refreshing it again in 2025, right? Now, the reason why she came to refresh is because some people were complaining about a certain thing with the emails that they were receiving. And that was because that was her before in 2024. That's no longer her. The message she was selling then, it's not the message she's selling now because things have changed. So creating automation, they're like, okay, yeah, we encourage people to create automations because, you know, you just run, you leave it and they run on their own. But periodically go back and update them because you now see that there are things that you wrote there that are no longer in alignment with where your business is at currently. Except your business is still the same way, which I don't think your business will be the same way. If you're doing business, there has been some level of growth. There's a way you think now. There's a pattern with which you work now that's different from the way you were doing it last year. So update these things and let it reflect. Because new people coming in, they were doing something in 2024 and 2023, and you still have the same automations there. Imagine you even use the year. Let's say you use a year and you use a statistic for that year in that email automation that you automated in 2024. And now things have changed. New people are coming in 2025. They're seeing the old statistic. They're seeing the old year. What does that say about you as a business owner? You get. So it's not a one-time set up and leave. Please always refresh it periodically. Even if it's a period of 3 to 4 months, 6 months, update it.
Yeah, quarterly, half yearly, just making a note to audit your email marketing system and optimize it will go a long way. When it comes to email marketing myths, we have like a lot of things that people believe, a lot of things that are out there. What are 1 to 3 email marketing myths that you want to bust on this call?
Right. Myth I want to bust, right? That I'm, like I said, I'm a numbers girly, but depending on your industry, those click-through rates, when you send out your emails, might not necessarily mean that they're not going to purchase or they're not going to convert, that your email didn't work. Because I sent out an email for a marketing campaign. It was Valentine's discounts. Well, the guy phoned up from the email. I couldn't track that. So how do I know that that email then converted? Well, I do because I listened to my trade team, but I wouldn't have known. So don't get hooked up, hung up on the numbers. That's myth one. Myth two. Right. I think that in terms of, you know, people saying that you need budget. Well, no, because look what I was managing to do without any, there was no money spent on that email other than the Brevo pay-as-you-go ones. But I was achieving. And I think myth three is that, I don't know about you, but with links in emails, I've seen that if you add links to emails, that there's like some myths that they might not get opened or they might get moved into junk. But I never had that. I never found that my emails, if I, especially my plain text B2B emails, I'd have several links in there, but they were coming from my personal business email address going to another. They were written personally and they had multiple links in and they didn't go into spam. So I think that could be a myth in terms of, yes, links might be an indicator for spam, but don't not include them, because I don't know how to maybe phrase this myth, but it just wasn't something that was affecting my emails. So it was a myth for me.
So, what is one email marketing myth that you want to bust today?
Okay, this one is very personal. Like, so it's personal because I didn't even know that was a problem. Like, I genuinely did not know, right? So, when I first became doing my email marketing for e-commerce brands, right? I didn't know that they used to design their emails. I'm telling you the truth. I carried my info email marketing style and brought it to e-commerce. And I was doing storytelling. And we are killing it. We are making money. We are having We had an engaged community inside e-commerce. So instead of, you know, giving you that design of, oh, acne product, blah, blah, I'll tell you a story of a client who bought this thing within 3 weeks. This happened. I put the before and after picture in the middle, the same way we do, like, you know, info marketing. And I just brought the same idea there. And what it did that I didn't know, that I later learned, was that it disrupted pattern. So everybody is sending design emails. I sent text-based emails consistently. Now the audience expect text-based emails. They like it. There's a time I sent out design emails that list. They did not buy. So they did not buy, right? So it's a pattern disrupt. Now you are talking with them. They feel like we know this founder. In fact, one interesting email I sent out, the woman was, she went to shop, and then someone that bought her product saw her at the stand, was like, oh, your product helped me. They took a selfie. I posted that selfie inside the email, shared that story, and linked the product that she used that got her that result. So it helped me see e-commerce in the market from a whole different light. And down the line, more people are now seeing that, oh, text-based emails for e-commerce actually get results. Many people are now talking about it, how it disrupts pattern, how it's different, how it feels more personal. How people feel like, okay, that's, they just feel more close to the person, but they're actually reading the words from them, not like nice designs, you understand? So that is one myth. The myth that you have to have fine design in e-commerce to make money. It's a lie. It's a big lie.
Here's my question for you. What's one myth about email marketing that you like to bust?
The one email myth that I would like to bust is the fact that there is a rule book that works for everybody. Like, I want to light it on fire, like with the biggest blowtorch I could possibly find, that there is any one size fits all email marketing rule book, because that is not real at all. I think every person could have their own version of a rule book of what works best for them. I'm here for that all day long. But like this corporate, this is what's working in email marketing. Like, I would like to burn that.
That might cause you to burn like maybe some state of the email marketing reports.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I'm here for that.
That's a nice one. I try to put it this way. I like to tell people that the foundation of email marketing stays the same. So we all know that we are attracting people, we're growing our list, we're nurturing them, we want to convert and more things. But the way we go about it, I mean, that's why the name of this podcast is Email Marketing Experiments, because different people do things differently. And then sometimes just in trying something new, you get a different result. And it's like, oh, I didn't know that, you know. And so it becomes something new, something different that may not necessarily follow like what has been said or done before. And so, yes, I can totally get this, because there are people out there who struggle because it's like, maybe they say, oh, your post-purchase has to be 3 emails. And they're like, what are the 3 best emails I need to put to be able to ensure I achieve this? But it could be longer.
Yes.
It could also be less.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I've started playing a game on my socials that I've named Burn, Bend, or Bible. And I'm going through various like email marketing rules or email marketing trends. And I'm like, are we burning it? Are we bending it to fit you? Or is this like, this is Bible, this is true, do this every time. It's a fun game show. It's a fun game show for sure. But so far, I'm not coming across very many Bibles. That's for sure. We are bending or burning most of them.
I can imagine.
You have all of these conversations and you talk to email marketers all the time. Like, what's your myth that you're like, I hate this one?
Funny enough, I've never really had to answer this question. Okay, so let's see. I think that there are a number of them. And this is the most basic one, but is the fact that everybody says email marketing is hard. And I don't know if it's because I've had to coach people a lot. And I've worked with business owners. I recently started like this small membership. We are doing like a beta testing. And when we did like the intake, a lot of people have things they would love to do with email marketing. They have things they have seen
people is like, oh, this person did a 10,000 day, this person made this sales. And it's like, it can happen to every other person but them, because email marketing is hard. It's difficult. And I like to tell people that email marketing is as easy or as difficult as you make it seem. It's all perspective. And the truth of the matter is that when something is far from you, when it's like it's out there and you're here, it may look hard. But by the time you start to look into it, you realize that, oh, this thing is easier than I thought. Mm-hmm. And so that's one myth that's really dear to me that I want to burn, because a lot of people could be doing so much more, both offering email marketing as a service or using email marketing in their business. But because they think it's hard, they leave it. Like for business owners, it's like back burner. It's like, I'm going to work my socials, I'm going to do my website. And I'm like, all these things can work so much more better if you just plug in the email side of it. But it's like, it's hard. I have to deal with the tech. I have to do this. And I'm like, great. And then on the other side, it's like, oh, there's digital marketing. And it's like, social media seems so easy, maybe because we all have social media accounts. But when it comes about email marketing, they have to think twice, because it's like, after writing, how do I understand the software? How do I do the strategy? How? There are so many questions, and so they're scared or they're not confident because they think it's hard. So for me, that's like one of the top ones.
Yes. The way that I want to throat punch someone when they try to say that email marketing doesn't work for them. Oh, email marketing just doesn't work for me. No, the way you're currently going about it might not work for you. That I'm here for all day long. You might not, the way you're currently doing it might not work for you. But email is an $11 billion a year industry. Billion dollars. What do you mean you can't have a slice of that pie? There's plenty of pie to go around. So I'm with you all day long on that particular one. Like I'm in that fight with you so hard.
Thank you. And I hope we can keep making it easier for even more people, just so they get to experience it. Like, I remember somebody in the membership, and the person was like, oh, she launched a new freebie and then she got a number of subscribers. So by standards out there, you wouldn't even say it's plenty. But it was the excitement for the fact that it's like, oh, like I did it and it worked. Like, people actually signed up. And I could feel the energy, and I was like, that's it. Like, it's like the light bulb moment where it's like, I did this and I got this result. So that means there's something there.
Yep.
And it was just encouragement for her, and every other person is like, this other person is doing this, so let me also do mine. And, you know, that kind of thing. And I live for moments like that, like just being able to get people to that point where it's like, I can do this. I'm actually doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. So good.
Yeah.